Stomach Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to Superbook Sports, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios, Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators take on the Detroit Red Wings tonight. Max will have the pregame for you in an hour. Puck drop in two. So there was a little minor sneaky transaction that went through yesterday that I don't hear a lot of people talking about because I don't think it's that big of a deal. And it was the San Francisco 49ers signing Sam Darnold to a one-year, $4.5 million contract. $3.5 million of it's guaranteed. And then we are starting to notice the Titans' trend as to what they're doing with the players on their team. If you're hurt and you're not a really good player like DeNico Autry, you're out. David Long Jr., hurt, gone. I mean, it wasn't like David Long Jr. signed for a bunch of money in Miami. In fact, David Long Jr. didn't sign for any money in Miami. Nate Davis, $10 million, gone. It's not like $10 million the Titans couldn't have afforded. $19 million guaranteed. It's not like the Titans couldn't have afforded that. And it's not like they don't have holes at guard. Still, Nate Davis, gone. Taylor Lewan, two ACLs, gone. Bud Dupree, never healthy, gone. Ben Jones, and Vrabel loves Ben Jones so much so that when they released him, Vrabel put out a statement about how much Ben Jones meant right there in the heart. And Ben Jones, gone. Well, who ended the year hurt with a sprained ankle last year and missed five games? Ryan Tannehill did. Now, I expect Ryan Tannehill to be back, but the Titans have stopped themselves every time from saying Ryan Tannehill will be our starting quarterback in 2023. That takes me back to Sam Darnold. I actually think Sam Darnold's kind of good. I know you all don't, but I think Sam Darnold is a good-ish quarterback. I don't think he's elite. But I don't think he's as bad as some of these other guys that are going to be starting next year in the league. And I thought Sam Darnold had a sneaky good year. 4-2 as a starter for Carolina, had his highest quarterback rating in the 90s this season, and had a QBR, which is ESPN stat, higher than Aaron Rodgers. Carolina, after they fired Matt Rhule, after they cut out the Baker Mayfield thing, Carolina had a shot to make the playoffs, and it was because of what Sam Darnold did at quarterback for them. So I don't think Sam Darnold stinks. I also don't think Sam Darnold decided to go to San Francisco to be the third quarterback. And if he's only going to get paid $4.5 million, what would be the point of signing that on the first day of free agency? If he was going to be the third quarterback in San Francisco, what would be the point of signing that on the third day of free agency, first day of free agency? That doesn't make a lot of sense. So my guess is San Francisco's moving a quarterback. They've got the two young guys, Brock Purdy, Trey Lance. They've got Sam Darnold. Again, $4.5 million. Now, maybe San Francisco just said, hey, we have got to find a second guy to come in here, and we'll put one of these young guys as our third guy because we ran through so many quarterbacks last year. But again, if you're Sam Darnold, and you're a good-ish quarterback, and you're 25 or 26 years old, you're not going somewhere where not only are you not going to play, but that you're so far buried on the depth chart that there's no chance you'll play. You don't go there and do that and take $4.5 million in a state that taxes half your income. You don't do that to go be number three. You do what Ryan Tannehill did when Ryan Tannehill left here or left Miami to come here. You go somewhere where the starter's a little vulnerable. You put your hand in the air, say, I'm the backup. And then when the starter falters or the starter gets hurt, you go in there, and if you save the day, you're back to being a starter. So the one thing I feel like I know from this deal is I feel like there's almost no chance, and no might be a little strong, but I think there's almost no chance Sam Darnold's going to be the third guy. Well, both Purdy and Lance are coming off of injuries. But I read last week that Brock Purdy will be ready to throw the ball in 6 months. And 6 months from now, we will be in September. So he'll be ready to play. And Trey Lance broke his ankle early in the season last year. It's not like Trey Lance lost a leg. It's a broken ankle. It heals. So what is the 49ers' plan at quarterback? And that takes me to, what is the Titans' plan at quarterback? The Titans sitting at 11 probably aren't going to do what Carolina just did to move all the way up to 1 to get their quarterback. Would the Titans do that to move from 11 to 3 if the quarterback that they loved was sitting there? I don't know. But would the Titans go out and get Trey Lance if they thought Trey Lance was going to be a future impact star player? Trey Lance has talent now. There's no doubt about it. Now, again, he was hurt last year, and he has not played so far in the NFL. But if I'm Ryan Tannehill and I see that Sam Darnold just took a one-year, $4.5 million deal in San Francisco, I'd be looking over my shoulder. Because all of these teams that sign quarterbacks like that on the first day of free agency, that sign a backup to a backup deal, that is because the backup is taking the money right now. Sam Darnold's not signing that contract to be the third guy in San Francisco. If you went to him, if you're Kyle Shanahan, and you said, hey, we want to sign you to a $3.5 million guaranteed deal, but we want you to come into camp and be our third guy, he's going somewhere else. He's going to go back up even a more established quarterback. What good would that do if he's sitting number three? No team would ever get to see him play. What, they're going to sit there and say, hey, you looked good in the second half of that preseason game against the Minnesota Vikings, so now we think that next season we're going to make you our starting quarterback? Why would you do that? You're better off going to one of these other places and either backing up or starting in front of a rookie when you know you're going to lose your job. Makes no sense to be number three, which means they probably told him he's going to be number two. And if Sam Darnold is going to be number two, that means somebody's losing a job. And that means somebody's not going to be there. And it's either going to be Lance or Purdy. And I could see either side of the argument here. With Trey Lance, if the 49ers have decided Brock Purdy, even with the injury, is their guy, then they might as well move on while they can. Because Trey Lance, even though they spent three first-round picks to move up to number three and draft him, that's not his value today. He's had two seasons in the NFL where he has not proved that he's a starting quarterback. He also only has 1 year left on his contract until the 49ers or whomever acquires him has to make a decision about picking up the fifth-year option. And for a quarterback taken third overall, that's a lot of money. The other side of the coin could be San Francisco knows deep down inside Brock Purdy really is a nobody. And that Kyle Shanahan's coaching coached up Brock Purdy and that his value will never be higher. Andy Reid did the same thing one time with a quarterback by the name of A.J. Thiele. Donovan McNabb got hurt. Ty Detmer got hurt. And A.J. Thiele won a handful of games for the Eagles. And then they got rid of him. He went to Miami, and we never heard from A.J. Thiele again. And again, the Titans have proven one thing to us this week. If you're injured, they don't want you. Taylor Lewan, big name in the franchise, popular player, but you're injured. Goodbye. Bud Dupree, impact pass rusher when he's on the field, but you're injured. Goodbye. David Long, everything you want in a middle linebacker, but you're hurt. Goodbye. Nate Davis, four-year starter at right guard, but you're hurt. Goodbye. Ben Jones, the lifeblood of the offensive line, team captain, Mike Vrabel's son, but you're injured. Goodbye. And Ryan Tannehill was injured last year. And San Francisco is going to have to do something with one of these quarterbacks. Because Sam Darnold, in my opinion, is not going there to be number three. He's going there to be number two, which means San Fran, in my opinion, has made up their mind on who number one is. And they're not going to keep number three. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Now, if I had my pick, and let me just say this, Rand Carthon is infinitely more knowledgeable about any of this stuff than any of us because he's seen all these guys practice. He knows what Kyle Shanahan thinks of them. He knows the psychological profiles of these guys. He knows what their temperament's like, their work habits, etc. But if I had my pick for the Titans, I will tell you the route that I would go, that I would hope San Francisco would allow me to trade for, and what I would trade. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. This March, take a shot at college hoops with a no-sweat bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. It doesn't matter if you need a FanDuel, if you already have an account right now. All customers can tip off the tourney with a no-sweat bet. Just sign into your FanDuel Sportsbook account to claim yours today. Or, if you're new to FanDuel, go to FanDuel.com/JGM to get on all the action. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to that 5 versus that 12 matchup you've been eyeing. I've told you guys for 3 days, Duke, that is a team that I think is totally underseeded. I woke up on Sunday morning. They were plus 2,900 on the FanDuel Sportsbook app to win the whole thing. I'm a big believer in Duke. FanDuel is a safe app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. And there's no better place to bet the tournament than on FanDuel Sportsbook. Again, FanDuel.com/JGM. Make every moment more with FanDuel. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus bet $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
I do have to ask you to take us back to the third day of the 2022 NFL draft when you guys are selecting Brock Purdy with the final pick in that draft. What went into that selection and what do you remember about it, Rand?
What I remember most is how well, new quarterback coach Brian Greasy and Steve Slowick worked together. Steve Slowick was an area guy. He covered Iowa State at the time and was kind of transitioning over to become a pro scout. But Slowick has been, he had been on Purdy for a couple years as one of his guys going through there and the guy he was really high on. And to have his evaluation co-signed by, Coach Greasy, who's coming in as a new coach, but having played in the system and understand what it takes to play in the system, just those two guys coming together and being on the same page and, us picking, Brock. And I mean, man, it's very rare that you go through three quarterbacks during the season one, but then to go through three quarterbacks and you get progressively better with each one. Like, that's just rare.
There you go. That was Rand Carthon talking about, hey, each time the 49ers upgraded at quarterback, they got better, which makes me wonder, what's he think of Trey Lance? Because, again, Sam Darnold, 1 year, $4.5 million. This just came in from Adam Schefter. Andy Dalton, 2 years, $10 million. $8 million fully guaranteed with Carolina. He's going there to essentially be the bridge backup-ish quarterback. That's why Andy Dalton's going there. Andy Dalton knows that offense. Because Andy Dalton ran it in Chicago under Matt Nagy. That's the offense that Frank Reich runs. He's going there to be kind of the Chris Chandler to Steve McNair to whomever they end up drafting with that number one overall pick. Now, I think it's going to end up being C.J. Stroud, and I think it should be C.J. Stroud. But this takes me back to Sam Darnold. Why would Sam Darnold sign for $4.5 million after going 4-2 last season and having a quarterback rating as a starter in the 90s. I mean, he signed for $3.5 million guaranteed. Andy Dalton just signed for $8 million guaranteed. Why would they do that? Why would Sam Darnold do that on the first day of free agency if he's going to be number three? I don't think he's going to be number three. Which then leads me to say, okay, who do you want and what would you give up? Now, if I'm the Titans and I could pick between Purdy or Lance, I would pick Trey Lance. Now, if I had San Francisco's team, with the receivers and the tight end and the left tackle and the running back, I'd want Purdy. But Lance, and in fact, if I was San Francisco, I think I'd rather have Darnold than Lance as well. But Trey Lance is athletic. Trey Lance has a lot of arm talent. I mean, I watched him play in the preseason last year against Green Bay, And I thought Trey Lance absolutely lit it up, and he threw a beautiful deep ball. I thought there was a chance that Trey Lance was going to be the breakout player this year, and then in the middle of the second game, he got hurt. And I know the Titans want to be more athletic long-term at the quarterback position. But then the question, if it's Trey Lance, let's say he's guy number three in San Francisco, because I don't think San Francisco is moving off of Brock Purdy. If it's Trey Lance, now there's a twofold question here. Number one, what would you give up for Trey Lance? And number two, who's better? Right now, today, to give you a better chance to win, Trey Lance or Ryan Tannehill? My gut tells me the 49ers felt like Trey Lance gave them a better chance to win than Jimmy Garoppolo. But I also don't think very much of Jimmy Garoppolo. Ryan Tannehill gives you a chance to win. As much as a lot of you crap on him, and as much as the national media talks bad about Tannehill, even though he probably doesn't put you over the top in a lot of games, he does give you a chance to win. Does Trey Lance give you a chance to win almost every week? I don't know. Then the second question is, because if Tannehill's better than Lance, why, even though you'd have Lance longer than you would Tannehill, why would you make that move and upgrade right away? And the reason why that question is important is because if Lance isn't better than Tannehill and you're bringing him in here, then you have to decide after this year with him as the backup to Tannehill if you're going to exercise the very expensive fifth-year option. The second question I have is, what would you give up for Trey Lance? Now, again, Rand Carthon knows Trey Lance better than I do, and he knows Trey Lance better than you do because he's been there. He's been in the practices. He's been in the meetings. He knows the quarterback coaches. He knows the offensive coordinators. He knows what they think. He knows where he needs to improve. He knows what offense they wanted to run this year with Trey Lance until he got injured. They brought Garoppolo in. He knows all of that. We don't know any of it. But what would you give up? I'm not giving up a first-round pick for Trey Lance. I'm not giving up a first-round pick for 1 year of a quarterback, and then I have to make a decision on his contract. Not doing it. So that's out. That's not even a possibility. If it's me, and I liked Trey Lance, it'd be my 2024 third-round pick. I'm not giving you a first, and I'm not giving you a second, because he's probably not even your guy. So I'm not giving you a first, I'm not giving you a second, and I'd rather not give you my third in this year's draft because I need my third in this year's draft. I'll give you a third in next year's draft. And I don't know if San Francisco says no to that just because of what they've invested in Lance. Or maybe they have a better offer out there for Trey Lance. The one thing I'm telling you is this may be the opportunity, though, for the Titans to get a young quarterback with talent. Because I hear you guys all the time complain about, well, they're never going to be bad enough to go up and get a good quarterback. And how do they go out there and get a young quarterback of the future? And how do they? This may be your opportunity. Now, here's the other part about it that nobody ever talks about, but I think is at least should be put on the table. What if Trey Lance sucks? I don't think he sucks. But he did suck in that first game this year against the Bears. What if Trey Lance sucks? Then what are you going to do? So I just, right now, knowing that the Titans don't like injured players and knowing that I don't think Sam Darnold went to San Francisco for $4.5 million to be the third string quarterback, I do wonder what the future is for Trey Lance, and I wonder what the future is with the Titans. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in. 615-737-1025. Texter says, the two guys that you are saying the 49ers would bring in to replace Tannehill were both hurt last year. I agree. But I think what we're seeing with the Titans, first of all, the reason why they move off of Tannehill is not because he hurt his ankle. It's because he's old. That's why they would move off of Tannehill. Secondly, they had injuries, Azeez Al-Shaair, their new middle linebacker they signed today. And again, Chase, do we even know how much money he signed for yet?
I still haven't seen it.
So we don't know how much money he signed for, but he's going to be their new middle linebacker. He tore his MCL last year. What the Titans are not interested in, groins, hamstrings, soft tissue injuries. And Lance and Purdy didn't have those. And Purdy is expected to make a full recovery. So that I'm not sure they're totally worried about. Texter says, Tannehill will win you what? Just regular season games or four consecutive playoff games? I don't think Tannehill will win you four consecutive playoff games. But how do I know Trey Lance will win that for you either? Chris texts in and says, Tannehill's injury was from contact resulting from a horrible offensive line. Don't disagree with that sentiment. I'm just saying, you know, Ben Jones, how did he get hurt? I don't know. He got two concussions and the Titans moved off of him, even though they have holes on the offensive line and Vrabel freaking loved him, which means if you got hurt last year, he don't want you. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get back into your phones. 615-737-1025. And we will reset what has been a wild day in free agency across the league. And we may have clarity on the biggest issue left, where we may know when we're going to get it. We'll get into that coming up next right here on the program. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They are proud supporters of the Nashville Predators. Had Hiller at my house earlier this week, and their experts are experts. You know, sometimes you'll get these people out there that they're trained, hey, we got to sell you on this, sell you on that. We got to get you on this, get you on that. Not Hiller. Their experts are trained, and they will tell you, hey, you don't need that. That's going to be too much to replace that. Just go ahead and do this. I love that about Hiller. Sometimes replacing equipment in your home can be overlooked until something breaks. But there's actually big problems that can come from outdated old vintage HVAC systems. Older systems have higher repair costs, require more maintenance, and result in higher utility bills. And even worse, they can break down when you need them the most. This month during Hiller's Vintage Showdown, they're giving away a free HVAC system to the owner of the oldest unit. It's easy to enter. Just go online to happyhiller.com and submit a picture of your old unit. Plus, everybody wins with trade-in credits and 0% interest financing for up to 48 months on replacements. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Aaron Rodgers still lingering. The decision is looming.
What, Trey Wingo?
It's on TV every 4 minutes on ESPN. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, what's he going to do? Aaron Rodgers, what's he going to do? Well, Alan Lazard allegedly going to the New York Jets. Ooh. They're in contract negotiations. There's another team involved. Nothing's been settled. Randall Cobb potentially being in conversation with the Jets. Mm-hmm. People are wondering around the internet, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if they're going to have enough money to be able to pay every single human that is being alleged to the Jets, but the Aaron Rodgers situation has no answer still at this point publicly.
No.
I don't know privately. AJ would know in about an hour. What we're saying is we have no idea either. Same spot as yesterday.
No clue.
Same spot as Friday.
But
will an answer come soon? We have no idea. We think, we'd assume, hopefully, with how everything has to kind of go.
Yep.
But that is not necessarily going to come from this particular program today. We'd like to let everybody know that.
That was Pat McAfee earlier today on the Pat McAfee Show. Tomorrow on the Pat McAfee Show, and I'm not trying to promote that show, though I have no problem with the Pat McAfee Show, but tomorrow on the Pat McAfee Show, they will have Aaron Rodgers on the program. Now, Trey Wingo reported that the deal was done yesterday, Aaron to the Jets, and then all the insiders came, no, we're not hearing Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. We don't hear that that's right. Now, my guess is, and again, Trey Wingo does not break news on a consistent basis, but Trey Wingo has skins on the wall. This is not some bum that nobody's ever heard of reporting that Aaron Rodgers to the Jets is done. I mean, this isn't like, you know, some guy, Max Herz, is reporting that Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. This is Trey Wingo. And my guess is Aaron Rodgers is the one who told that to Trey Wingo. And it's obvious that the Jets think they're getting Aaron Rodgers because they just signed Alan Lazard to a $44 million contract. They're going to sign Randall Cobb probably. They're looking at Mercedes Lewis. They're bringing in the Aaron crew. They've already brought in Hackett. Why are they bringing in the Aaron crew for Aaron? That's why. But apparently he's going to be on that program tomorrow. My guess is we'll know what's going to happen as far as, you know, what's concerned the Jets and what they're going to trade and the money and who's going to pay it all and everything else. We'll probably have some clarity by 1 o'clock. But at this point, the only thing that I'm interested in is what are the actual parameters of the trade. I'm not interested anymore on if Aaron's going to the Jets, because I know Aaron's going to the Jets. Now I'm wondering, what are the Jets giving up for a $58 million quarterback that the Packers don't want anymore? You know, normally when a guy has a $58 million contract and the team that's trading him doesn't want him anymore, they'll give you a pick in order to take the contract off your hands. In this case, I think the Packers are probably thinking, we're trading you Aaron Rodgers. We want a good pick in return. And the Jets are probably saying, we're about to pay $59 million. We're not giving you a good pick in return. What are you going to do if we don't give you a good pick in return? Nothing. So I think that's the process. So I do wonder, you know, if you're the Jets, you probably need to just get this deal done so you just move on. But at the same time, I'm not giving you a good pick. I'm not giving you the 13th overall pick in the draft in exchange for Aaron Rodgers when you've told every single person out there that you can't wait till you get rid of him. But the Jets are not hiding it by going out and signing the Aaron crew. Speaking of signing crews, there is another kind of developing issue in the NFL. Boy, I can't wait till Jason Fitz comes on tomorrow at 4:30. Because I don't know what his Raiders are doing. I don't know. Well, I take that back. I know exactly what his Raiders are doing. Josh McDaniels has decided to turn the Raiders into the New England Patriots, which would only be funny if he hadn't already tried to do that with the Denver Broncos a decade ago. But Josh McDaniels is doing it again. He had Derek Carr, a perfectly fine quarterback, who a handful of teams in the league were lining up trying to sign that really wanted Derek Carr, and he kicked him out of the door. When he got there, this was, no, I'm not going to do what I did in Denver with Jay Cutler. I believe in Carr. That's why I took the job. Then after a year, kicked him out. Now he's kicked out Darren Waller, who I think is probably the fourth or fifth best tight end in the NFL, and he got a third-round pick in exchange from the Giants for Darren freaking Waller. Now, let me just add this in here while we're talking about this. Darren Waller was probably the number one reason why the Titans beat the Raiders last year, because he did drop a pass, and he did drop a pass for a touchdown that popped in the air that ended up being a Titans interception. So I'm not saying that Darren Waller's perfect, but I'm just saying as far as this is concerned, I think Darren Waller is a pretty good player. Who are they bringing in? They're bringing in Jakobi Meyers on an $11 million per year deal. The number one receiver of the New England Patriots, who's probably more of a 3 or a 2 in the NFL, they're bringing him in. So last year, I thought they had a pretty good thing going. Like, I like Matt Collins. I like Darren Waller. I obviously like Davante Adams. I like Josh Jacobs. And I think Derek Carr is fine. He kicks out Derek Carr, brings in a worse quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. He kicks out Darren Waller, brings in a worse player in Jakobi Meyers. And then today it was announced that the Raiders are signing Philip Dorsett, who was in New England with Brady and McDaniels years ago as well. This is not going to work, Josh. They should have never hired him. In fact, I think they should have fired him after this year when he proved that he can't coach in the NFL. He totally botched the Derek Carr thing, absolutely botched the Derek Carr thing. And now you're going to try to beat Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes in your division, and you're going to try to do it with Jakobi Meyers, Philip Dorsett, and Jimmy Garoppolo? And Davante Adams has already been kind of mad on social media. Josh Jacobs already is mad on social media. McDaniels doesn't have a freaking clue. And the longer you let somebody who doesn't have a clue run your organization, the longer it's going to be until you finally get out from under this. I actually said this the other day. I don't know if you all watched the Big 12 championship basketball game, but Texas, I think, handled Kansas. And everybody was telling me before the game that Kansas was the best team in the country. And Texas handled them. And Texas has an interim head coach by the name of Rodney Terry. Now, Rodney Terry had struggled in previous stops at UTEP and, I believe, Fresno State. And most people, after Chris Beard got fired and they made Rodney Terry the coach, most people don't think that Rodney Terry is ultimately going to be the coach at Texas, because at Texas, we've got to have a big-time coach. You sure you want to fire the interim guy? Because the Raiders fired John Gruden after he got kicked out of the league, and they had Rich Bisaccia, and that team made the playoffs. And that team played with some spunk. And that team got people to believe that the Raiders last year were on the ascent. And still they let him go, and they hired Josh McDaniels. And Josh McDaniels has turned the Raiders into the clown show that they were before this Rich Bisaccia thing. The clown show that he had in Denver a decade ago when he wanted Matt Cassel. And he alienated Jay Cutler, and he ended up with Tim Tebow. That's what we're looking at right now. I mean, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't know what they're thinking there with the Raiders. By the way, good pickup for the Jets. I mean, excuse me, the Giants. And I'm just going to tell you, I think that Daboll is going to use Darren Waller way better than Josh McDaniels would have. And poor Davante Adams. That team stinks, and they're in a division where you can't stink. And what have they done to fix the defense? Because the defense was the problem. But this is just what McDaniels does. Go get me the guys I know. Go get me the guys I'm comfortable with. That's what they have there. The Titans have made a couple of signings. They made a special team signing, Landon Gifford. Now, I talked to some people with the Cowboys that I know, and I said, hey, what do we know about this special teams linebacker, Landon Gifford? And my buddy with the Cowboys said, baller in all caps, best special teams backer in the league, really good depth player. Another guy said, just a dude you want on your team. I watched the Andre Dillard tape. I think he's going to be a solid, although not remarkable, left tackle. And I think his run blocking leaves at least a little something to be desired. And then today they signed Azeez Al-Sher, a middle linebacker from San Francisco. They run a 4-3, so in the middle of their defense, they've got Dre Greenlaw, who's a really good player, Fred Warner, who's a really, really, really good player, and then Azeez Al-Sher, or Azeez Al-Shaair. They have Azeez Al-Shaair. The Titans have signed him. He's going to replace David Long Jr. as their middle linebacker. TD texted me about that earlier today and said that Al-Shaair is a baller. He's instinctive in coverage, matched up with tight ends at times. He's going to rack up tackles, one of those guys that flows to the ball really well. Not bad at getting around blockers either. Sometimes he takes them on and disengages well to make the tackle. And that he also, now this is something we probably have to be worried about a little bit, Shaair tore his ACL and MCL in October of his final year in college in 2018. His MCL tear last year was to his right knee. And he apparently also tore his UCL. That's the pitching elbow ligament. He tore that and played with it for 3 months with a torn UCL at Florida Atlantic. But it does sound like somebody that they trust as an impact linebacker that they're going to sign and just say, okay, you've got the David Long Jr. spot. And now they're done at inside linebacker. So now that they've erased left tackle and they've erased inside linebacker from positions of need, they're slowly but surely chipping away. I think they still have a need at left guard. They still have a need at center. And they still have a need at right guard. Now, tomorrow, they will have to make the decision on tendering Aaron Brewer a contract at $2.6 million as a restricted free agent for that right of first refusal. So we will see if they do that. I think they will, just from a number standpoint. They also have a need at defensive end and outside linebacker to replace Bud Dupree. They've also got a needed defensive tackle, and we will see if they tender Tierre Tart with a second-round contract grade. If they go with the right of first refusal, maybe there's a chance that Tierre Tart gets offered. If they go with a second round tender, which is $4 million, there's no chance T.R. Tartt gets another contract offer from another team. Now they filled the hole at inside linebacker. DeMarcus Walker, defensive end, he already left, signed a deal with the Bears. Good for him. I still think they could use some help at corner. And so with that, they still have a handful of needs. But I think, remember, Austin Hooper signed on Friday of free agent week last year. Now, Austin Hooper's a guy I'd like to have back. And I actually looked it up today. Austin Hooper had 10.8 yards per catch, which is what he was doing in Atlanta, which is what got him paid when he went to the Browns, and then he went to like 8 yards a catch or whatever. 10.8 yards per catch last year. He's a good player, and it took, you know, Todd Downing forever to realize it, but he's a good player, and I would like to see the Titans bring him back. They need a second tight end. There's another restricted free agent that they have to keep their eye on, which is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Now, I don't think they're going to tender Westbrook-Ikhine for $2.6 million, and I don't think he's a $2.6 million player. But tomorrow by 3 o'clock, when the new league year starts, they will have to decide who they're going to tender contracts to. I do not think that they are going to want to lose Nick Westbrook-Ikhine because he is a guy who consistently shows up. All these other guys, you know, well, this guy plays 13 games, this guy plays as many, this guy... Westbrook-Ikhine is not very fast. He's not very big. He doesn't have a lot of talent, but he's a solid special teams player. He knows your system. He knows your quarterback. And he's not that expensive. We'll see what they do there because I don't want to have to replace that if I'm the Titans. But do they try to sign him for a deal that's less than $2.6 million? So they've got that going for them as well. With that, we go to your phones. 615-737-1025. Texter into the text line says, why go for Lance or Purdy? The Titans have tried to get young quarterbacks, Vince Young and Mariota, and both were horrible decisions. Don't forget Jake Locker. Hey, guess what? And this goes for every take out there. Just because signing an individual free agent didn't work out doesn't mean that you shouldn't sign any more free agents. Just because drafting a quarterback 15 years ago didn't work out doesn't mean that you shouldn't ever draft another quarterback. Think about this. When the Bengals had the number one pick and Joe Burrow was sitting there, do you think Cincinnati said to themselves, you know what? We drafted Akili Smith high and it didn't work out, so why would we take Joe Burrow? Do you think they said that to themselves when Carson Palmer was sitting there? Well, remember Akili Smith? Of course not. That's like saying, oh, well, the Jets can't draft a young quarterback anytime soon because they took Sam Darnold and they took Zach Wilson. That's like saying, oh, you know what? Better watch out if you're the Houston Texans trying to take a young quarterback because they took David Carr in 2002, number one overall, and that didn't work out. You see how ridiculous that sounds? If Rand Carthon, and he would have the inside info because – again, that's what Rand Carthon, you know, he did that in San Francisco with those guys. If he thinks Trey Lance can play, by all means, go out and try to get Trey Lance. I don't know what it means, though, for Tannehill. Now, I am worried about the Azeez Al-Shaair injuries. David said, there goes your injury take that the Titans are moving off of injured players. Again, soft tissue injuries. Recurring injuries. I do not like, though, the fact that Al-Shaair has the injuries. You know, they're torn knee ligaments and things. I do not like that. That concerns me. By the way, I have my wish list out. Some guys to keep an eye on. You know, if they don't get deals out there in free agency that I think the Titans could get low-level money, I'm still keeping my eye on Austin Hooper. I want Austin Hooper back. I also want Mario Edwards Jr. back if they can get him at the veteran minimum. Keep an eye on Arden Key. Now, he's 26 years old. He's played 17 games in each of the last two seasons, had 11 sacks the last 2 years, and Arden Key played in San Francisco. So maybe Rand Carthon likes him, as it did Samson Ebukam, the outside pass rusher that I thought the Titans should have signed in our free agency preview, and I still think they need a guard in free agency. And as I've said, give me a fat one. Give me a big old fat guard I don't want any more 280 pounds moves. Well, I want 335 pounds, just eats these big old fat defensive linemen. That's what I want. A big old fat guard, kind of like Roger Saffold. Big old fat guard. Gets out there and can push people around. That's what I'd like. Just one of those. And then a lot of my anxiety probably goes away a little bit. Predators are back at home against Detroit Predators. Game day's next. Omen & Company, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Predators game day is presented by TJ Anderson, homes of Benchmark Realty. TJ Anderson is my realtor. I've had TJ take care of two home purchases for me, and he does even more for my friends. I never hesitate in telling my friends about TJ and how much I enjoy using TJ and how he gets me the best deals, and he'll do the same for you. That's TJ Anderson, homes of Benchmark Realty, online at tjandersonhomes.com, where they have all of the latest, what's coming available, and all these great tools you can use at tjandersonhomes.com. That's TJ Anderson, homes of Benchmark Realty. The Detroit Red Wings are 30-27-9, good for 69 points. The Predators, 33-24-7, good for 73 points. But now the schedule gets a little bit tougher, and it means that the Predators are going to have to watch out as far as any hopes of making the wild card are concerned. We start with John Hines on the Predators' play of late.
Well, I think first of all, it starts with I think the veteran players that have been in the lineup and playing every night. You know, I think that their attitude I think commitment level to how they're playing, but also, you know, I think the temperature in the room is really important, particularly with a lot of newer guys and young guys coming in. And I think that the younger players that have come in have really played to their strong suits. You know, I think we're a faster team. I think we have we're very competitive every night. You know, you're not asking or begging for effort and competitiveness. It's naturally there. I think from a structure standpoint, guys are committed when they don't have the puck. And then I think from an offensive standpoint, you know, guys are playing with some confidence and swagger. I think our speed and pace of play certainly helps that. And I think, you know, different skill sets in the lineup now have really clicked.
Now, here's my take on it. The Predators are 6 points out of the wild card with 3 games in hand on Winnipeg. They play Detroit, who kind of stinks tonight, but doesn't stink. They play Chicago, who absolutely freaking stinks on Thursday. And then they play Winnipeg, who's ahead of them in the standings, all at home on Saturday. If the Predators can go 3-0-0, this is my final thought presented by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty. If they can go 3-0-0 this week, now we're talking. We'll see. Max has the pregame show. That's next. Stillman & Company. We'll see you tomorrow, too.